Hello, and thank you, friends, for joining me again on You Had Options. Thank you for watching, or listening, or both. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe, because that is the only currency that I need right now from y'all. On this episode, I have the hard body beefcake, Alex Burton, who is in You Vandal. And he also has his new amp company, Burton Audio, which is exploding with popularity and how good his amps are. So hit him up. You can check out You Vandal on Instagram, You Vandal FL. Go find him on Facebook. Give him a like. Go listen to their music. I Just Want to Go Back to Hell is one of my top five albums of the past 5 years. Love it. Go check out Burton Audio on Instagram, Burton_audio. They're great. Bailey makes the faceplates for his amps. It's all awesome. Thank you for listening. Go find us on Instagram, at You Had Options. Again, make sure you subscribe, comment, like. Yeah. Thank you so much. Bye. Alex, thank you for joining. It's good. Thank you for joining me on this Sunday night.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Yeah. You told me that it was your friend and bandmate Gucci's weekend, birthday weekend.
Yeah, we went down to Sanford yesterday to hang out with him. Eric and I did, and it was nice to kind of get out and go someplace new other than the sticks.
Your house? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. So have you been in your quarantine time with Burton Audio, have you been able to build a whole lot more than you would expect?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've finished 7 amps during quarantine, and like there's an 8th about to be complete.
Damn. How long does it take to build like a normal like one amp?
I guess that depends on like your level of soldering ability. But the hardest part has been like actually receiving parts. Like UPS and USPS and FedEx are all running kind of slow now, so right. Getting stuff you need is not as easy as it was like at the beginning of the pandemic. But I mean, typically if you have everything and you work at it for a little bit, like each night, you can probably bust one out in maybe, I don't know, 20 hours of total time.
Damn. So how many, were you making amps before the quarantine, right?
Yeah, like, I had made a few before, but I dove in pretty hard, man. Like, during quarantine. There's not much to do, and I needed something like outside of my normal every day to just kind of zone it on.
For sure. What's the most difficult part of building amps? Because whenever I open up my own amp, I want to like, scream because I don't know what the hell I'm looking at.
Yeah, I mean, so like more modern stuff looks way more intimidating than the type of stuff that I'm building. But I would say the most frustrating or hard part would probably be when you think it's completed and you turn the power on and like nothing happens.
Right.
Like, trying to go back and troubleshoot where you missed a wire or like did something incorrectly is by far the most frustrating part of the whole thing.
Right. Are you making up cool names for your models? Like, I don't know, Thunderfuck or something?
No, but I should probably use that one. Okay. Now
you can have, I'll give you that one for free.
You're gonna license that to me?
Yeah.
Yeah, so pretty much everything I built has just been a clone of something else. So mainly like Fender and Marshall amps. Yeah. I did a Vox clone one. I don't know, it's pretty like JC-800s are relatively easy to build and they're liked by everybody, and like there's some Fender circuits that like a Champ or a Tweed Deluxe that are like pretty universal, everybody likes.
Yeah. Are you going to switch for when you're playing live? Are you going to switch to your own amps, or are you going to use what you got already?
Yeah, so I actually built Eric and Gooch. Well, I built the band two JCM-800 clones, and we're going to attempt to like use them when we play live and see what happens.
Yeah, that's scary.
Hey, it is. I mean, yeah, like. They're all handmade, and like the thing that worries me the most is being like fragile,
right,
and getting like a connection coming loose, like in transportation or something.
Yeah.
Compared to like, I don't know, the maces and stuff that we normally use that are like fully QC'd and like built to last. These are like literally handmade.
Right.
And could catch on fire at any time. But I got two 800s ready to go. We're just like, if shows ever happen again, or if we ever get together as a band to do live stuff, like we're gonna give it a go and see what happens.
Yeah, that's sick. And for the dummies that don't know, you play guitar and you Vandal.
Yep, that's correct.
Yeah, were you guys recording a record, or in the process of it?
Yeah, we actually. We're almost at the finish line with a new full length. Ooh. Everything's tracked, and we have some time booked, like on the 28th and 29th of this month, actually, to go to the studio for like some final mix sessions.
Yeah,
we tracked everything like here at like my house, like in the home studio. Kind of, we started in January, so like before the pandemic, but we did them in batches. So Scott, our drummer, would come down from wherever he lives, Atlanta or Athens or somewhere in that area. I'm not quite sure. Yeah. So he would come down like every couple months and we'd work on another batch of songs. And we finally got everything tracked, and we dropped him off at the, well, we've kind of had an ordeal with getting this thing mixed and mastered, but we went to like the guy who we went to the guy who made the last two records for us, and he's working on it now. So we've heard some test mixes and everything sounds like in the ballpark of where we want. So we're getting happy that it's going to be finished.
Nice. Soon. Man, the people need it.
I don't know if that's true.
By the people, I mean me and Robert, we need it.
It's like, it's definitely coming.
Yeah.
I heard that it's not getting released until like June or July, but we're supposed to try to have it done and submitted in February.
Yeah. But, and you're in the sticks of Gainesville right now, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I live south of Gainesville, between like Ocala and Gainesville.
Okay.
In the middle of nowhere.
Have you always been in the Gainesville area, like growing up?
Yeah. Like I grew up pretty much in the same town that I currently live in, and it's about the same distance for me to go to Gainesville as it is to go to Ocala. So growing up, I always would go to, in high school, like the bar was 1982 that everyone went to go see shows at or play at. Yeah. And that was in Gainesville. So Ocala had more of a hardcore scene going on, and Gainesville had more of like the everything else.
Yeah. So were you in like, I think we had talked before, I think we talked about hardcore maybe, you're big into hardcore, right? Or
I would say I used to be more so than I am, but like I did grow up, like into hardcore. I went to school in Tampa. So like Tampa was also a big like hardcore town, and seeing shows at like 688 skate park and transitions.
Yeah.
Like I was doing in my college years.
Right.
That was like primarily all hardcore bands.
Were you playing in hardcore bands back then?
Yeah, I played in a couple over the years. They never really went anywhere.
Yeah.
We would like do shows like regionally in the Southeast, but nothing like nothing more than that.
Yeah, I remember going to hardcore shows in like Pensacola, and that was always the around here at least. That was the place to go for hardcore shows. A lot of Bridge Nine bands came down and played in Pensacola. Yeah, that's the same for me. Like high school years and early college years, but then I just kind of fell out of listening to it for whatever reason.
Yeah, I went to see I guess one of my favorite like live hardcore bands to see was Terror.
Yeah.
And I went and saw Terror a few years ago, and although they were like really good live, I was just kind of like I'm glad I don't go to these shows anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. It was cuz Comeback Kid played Fest 2 years ago, I think.
Yeah, they're playing again next year too.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, that's a band I wouldn't have expected on Fest.
Well, they kind of have a slightly more upbeat, faster,
for sure. Yeah.
Like sound than some of these chuggy hardcore bands. And some of their members are also in like, you know, other bands that like play Fest.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I remember that was one of my big bands growing up. Wake the Dead, all that good shit.
I saw them in Ocala probably 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Before they were popular.
Yeah. When, cause their old singer, I remember I had a Hellfest DVD or some festival like that.
And I think we all had the Hellfest DVDs.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure it was Hellfest where it was Comeback Kid playing and their singer was like running on people's heads through the crowd. And I was like, oh, that's so fucking cool. But
do you have the Hellfest DVD with the Locust playing?
I think I can't remember if I'm misremembering, but I've seen those videos.
It sticks out to me as the craziest thing I've ever like seen that live still to this day.
Yeah. I tried to get into the Locust, but it's so weird that, you know, I don't know what you even call that, just noise.
Yeah, you know? I agreed. Like I remember seeing that DVD back in the day and like listening to it and just thinking this is nonsense. And then like 20 years later, actively trying to go and listen to the Locust to see if maybe like I was missing something back then.
Yeah.
And I still didn't figure it out.
Yeah. Me either, man. do you follow God City music stuff? The Converge guy?
I've watched a few of like the YouTube videos about God City recordings.
He kind of, I don't know, the stuff you're doing with making your own amps, it kind of reminded me of him, where he makes like his own pedals.
Yeah.
Makes his own pedals and stuff. And I think he made his own guitar. I can't remember. But are you going to get into making pedals, or are you just focused on amps right now?
Well, it actually started like with making pedals.
Yeah.
My girlfriend at the time bought me some like the company is called Build Your Own Clone.
Mm.
And it's like just a kit. So it comes with like literally everything you need to like assemble the pedal. And they're really great to like get into it and like learn how to solder and like perfect your, like get your chops up with this, like putting them together. Cause literally anyone that has a soldering iron and like willing to like try can make it like a fully functional guitar pedal that sounds like pretty good.
Yeah.
And she got a few of those for me. And then after that I was hooked. And then I've built, I don't know, probably 20 pedals. And since then, I was like, oh, I'm going to make pickups, and I figured out how to make guitar pickups.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember you winding, seeing videos of you winding pickups, yeah.
And, like, a lot of them turned out really well. And then, like, to me, like, I always think, like, always thought tube amps were, like, the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I'm going to put, you know, pickups down and just go for tube amps. They're, like, a lot more intimidating, but, you know, I just went for it and figured it out.
Hell yeah.
Luckily, there's two guys in Gainesville that build custom amps, and they've been doing it for a long time. And one of those two guys has pretty much been like a mentor through the whole learning process for me.
Who's that?
His name's Tim, and his company is called Organ Donor Amps.
Okay.
And you can find him on Reverb, but what he primarily does is he like scavenges like old Wurlitzer organ like components or Hammond organ components, and then he uses like the transformers from those but builds modern like Fender designs inside of them. And he puts out some pretty sweet stuff. He does like one-off brand new builds too, like you can hire him to make whatever, but he primarily like does a lot of like retrofitting of vintage stuff into something else.
Yeah, that's cool. And doesn't the James from Against Me, he's making pedals now?
He does, like, and they seem to be some pretty badass stuff. I heard like a demo of like a clone that he made, and I thought it sounded very good.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. What are your thoughts on aluminum guitars?
I mean, I would like to have one.
Yeah.
I've never played one or touched one, but I'd be very curious.
Yeah. There's this,
they seem to be popular these days.
Yeah. I don't know if you know this company, Electrical Guitar Company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I follow them on Instagram, and, they used to be in Pensacola. I don't know if they're still there. But yeah, I think my next big purchase would be trying to get one of their basses.
Oh, they make aluminum neck basses too?
Yeah.
That's pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
I guess aluminum's light. Yeah. But I wonder if it weighs more than like a conventional wooden neck.
I don't know. Yeah, and I think. I don't know if you can, like, I don't know what the return process is. And I know those are, like, the cheapest ones I was seeing was, like, $2,500. So.
You have some really nice, like Music Man basses, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you think a aluminum neck bass would be cooler than those?
Probably not. But you know how, like, gear is, you know. It's like FOMO. You're chasing the dragon. You're never satisfied.
Yeah, story of my life.
Or at least I'm not, yeah. So I'm like, you know, I got, I'm finally satisfied with like my amp and cab because they're both Mesa. So I'm just like, well, can't do anything, you know, can't do any better.
It's quality.
Yeah, it's good. So I'm just like, I'm good with that, but yeah.
Although I saw the news headline that Gibson purchased Mesa this week.
Really?
So I guess rest in peace, Mesa, probably.
Damn. Wow. Yeah, I wonder what that means. Like, are they just going to stop making Mesas, or is Fender going to produce Mesas now, or I don't know.
Well, I think Mesa's still going to produce Mesa. I think Gibson, from what I read, Gibson wanted to acquire them,
yeah,
so they could like reissue like Gibson amps, and have like a company that actually knows what they're doing.
Yeah,
like produce them for them.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see if Gibson can survive.
Yeah. What's your before? Bring in your own head into your live set whenever that comes back around. What was your give me a quick rig rundown of what you play through?
It's very simple.
Yeah.
I, a triple rectifier that I had, that I actually got as my graduation present from high school.
Yeah.
And an orange 412 cab.
Nice.
And then any, like, I have a bunch of guitars that were all, that all had JB, humbuckers in the bridge. So yeah, they pretty much all sounded exactly the same through it.
Yeah.
And then boosted with like a slightly boosted on the front end with the Tube Screamer.
Damn.
The old Tube Screamer and Mesa Trick. Yeah. And that's honestly about it. Although, like, on this new record that we just finished, we did not use the Mesa one time. So
really,
we were trying to go for new stuff. So we did, like, the one thing that we always used was that amp. So we, like, we went a different direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's all Marshall and Orange and amps that I made. So.
Damn. It's
primarily Marshall.
Yeah. What, do you ever watch, like, the rig rundown videos of just random people?
Yeah, I'm pretty obsessed with those.
Yeah, me too.
I kind of lost interest in them during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Where they're not, like, where, you know, where they're doing it, like, over Zoom or whatever, but yeah, those are not quite as cool. But the Brian Fallon one was pretty awesome.
I don't know if I've...
The Gaslight guy?
Right. I don't know if I saw that one.
He talked about, like, every amp that was used on the 59 Sound record he built.
Oh, damn.
Like, he's actually, he's one of the bigger, like, gear nerds that have been on there.
Damn. Yeah. I don't know. There's one that stands out to me is AC/DC, how they have to bring, you know, like, backup power because they're going to blow out. I don't know. I guess the thing about that one is that all the amps are live, like, all the cabinets are live on stage.
Yeah, he ran like 9 full stacks on stage.
Yeah.
And they toured with like 60 plus vintage Marshalls.
Right.
And they also had an amp tech on tour with them because, like, I guess they ran them so hot and so, like, loud and for so long that, like, multiple amps would fry every single night.
Yeah.
Like, that's just like overkill.
That's probably a lot. I guess if you're AC/DC, you can just fucking do whatever.
I respect the game, but, like, for that sure. Seems a little overkill.
Yeah. What do you think about when people are not using cabs, like, on stage?
Just
running through the PA.
I personally hate that.
Yeah, me too.
I think, like, I totally understand why people are doing it, and I totally understand why people are, like, using Axe FXs and Kempers and things these days, because it's just so much easier for, like, a huge band. But I think, like, if you're up on stage, like, part of, like, playing, to me, is, like, actually hearing the amp behind you.
Yeah.
And I feel like it'd be very weird to, like, get all your sound from either your ears or, like, or the monitors. Because, yeah, you know, like, playing the shitty venues that our bands play, like,
right,
the monitors hardly ever work, or, you know, I feel like for a band like our size, that's probably an unrealistic goal.
Yeah. I don't know. It's even if it wasn't, you know, even if you guys had the option to, it would, I don't think I would. I don't like it. It's not natural.
I mean, like, Kempers do sound like,
yeah,
do sound really sweet. Like, I've heard some good sounding Kempers live.
Yeah. Yeah. I was looking at a Kemper just for fun. But then I was like, this is too overwhelming for me. This is too much, like, technology for me to.
It's weird that, like, the Kemper, like, sucks the soul out of, like, any amp that you want to, like, suck the soul out of, and then it, like, somehow reproduces its tone, like, I don't know, 95% of the way.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just so much I just don't understand, you know, of the technology, I guess. But,
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to switch away from cabinets, but
no,
I mean, we might not ever play shows again, so.
Damn it. Yeah, it's true. I don't know. Hopefully with this vaccine, these vaccines coming out.
You going to, you got to step up and get it?
I'll get, if I get the chance to. I don't know when non-medical or non-essential people can get it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think I'm ready to just go for it.
Yeah, I don't care. At this point. At this point, what, you know, whatever. I got nothing to lose. I've lost everything already. Not really. I'm being dramatic. Yeah, but we were supposed to play some shows. I remember, like, the week after, maybe 2 weeks after, like, when lockdown started back in March.
Yeah, we canceled, like, a little run.
A weekend thing, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. It's just weird not playing shows. So strange.
Like, I feel like because, like, we've been working on a record and recording and, like, I've been seeing the guys, like, I don't quite miss it as much.
Yeah, but that's true.
Now that, like, we're at the point where the record's done and we're, like, talking about, like, oh, what are we going to do with the record? It's, like, I'm kind of excited to, like, actually go play these songs, and that, like, could potentially not happen anytime soon.
Yeah. If, you know, God forbid, you know, vaccine, because you said it was coming out, the record is supposed to come out in July or June.
June, like, has Eric told me.
Tentatively.
Yeah, tentatively summertime.
Yeah.
I think they were talking about shooting for June and July.
Yeah. Would you guys push back if you had to? If COVID was still crazy?
I don't know. We the last two records that we put out all came out in, like, the wintertime.
Yeah.
And we were pretty, like, we had a plan to get this release in the summertime record. So I don't, hopefully we don't push it back.
Mm. Are there a lot of summertime jams on the record? And that's why you need a lot of Will Smith type.
All songs for the summer, yep.
Yeah.
Some very LFO material.
LFO, yeah. Steal My Sunshine type stuff is on there.
You think I'm joking?
I hope not. I hope you're not joking.
We went in we explored all directions on this record.
It's good, man. You guys are artists. How long has You Vandal been a band?
A long time. I met Eric on a message board in Gainesville in, like, 2008.
What message board?
Yeah. Gainesvillebands.com.
Damn.
He replied, like, he had moved to Gainesville to attend school, and
yeah.
I guess he was just surfing and found the ad.
Damn. So yeah, so you two are the constant members that have been since the beginning, right?
Yep, and Gooch has been involved in it for many years, off and on. He we played a show in Orlando, and Gooch got kicked by someone in the pit and complained about his hand hurting all night. This was, I don't know, maybe like in 2012. And he played the show, and then the next day he, like, texted us, and he's like, I went to the hospital in the morning and my hand's broken.
Hey.
So I'm out of commission for a long time. And then he was like, oh, and by the way, I'm going to go back to school. So then we had some other people,
yeah.
Like, over the years. But, like, I mean, Gooch is fun, and he's a great songwriter, and, like, has inventive ideas. So it's been very nice to have him back in the band for the past couple of years.
Okay, so we were talking about You Vandal.
Yeah, band member changes over the years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would consider Gooch, like, a longtime member. So
okay,
he's right up there with Eric and I.
Right. Yeah. It's always. It's always weird and sometimes difficult, you know, trying to bring a new person in, because it's a weird relationship that you have with, you know, these this group of people, and it doesn't always work out. for, you know, sometimes shit just happens and doesn't mesh for whatever reason.
Definitely. We got very lucky with Scott.
Oh yeah. Scott's a great drummer, and
he is 100% a great drummer, and he's probably the easiest person on the planet to get along with.
Yeah, he seems like a pretty easygoing fella.
He just he sits back and is along for the ride pretty much.
Yeah, and just fucking slays the drums.
And funny fact about Scott is, if he gets into a moving vehicle, he falls asleep within 30 seconds.
Is it the vibrations?
If he's not driving, he just goes to sleep like a little baby.
Yeah, it's the vibrations, man.
He can't help himself.
No. I was telling somebody recently about our show in Dallas at the Arts and Crafts Festival. It's one of my favorite stories, just of wacky shows happening.
It was a probably on the second maybe worst show I've ever played.
What was this?
It may be the first worst show I ever played. I don't know. It was funny. It was funny in a, in a weird way.
Yeah. It was like a Flight of the Conchords type, for the listeners, we pulled up to this, what we thought was going to be a theater, cause it was called something theater, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. And so we pull up and it's a farmer's market type, arts and crafts festival. In a parking lot, and there's a little stage, and there's a dance troupe going on as we're pulling up.
They were really good.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No question.
They outshined both of our bands.
It's true. But I remember you guys played, first, and, the crowd was what you would think would be at a farmer's market, arts and crafts festival. Not into it. But I think we did the professional thing, and we muscled through and played some songs.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
We made the best of it.
And the poor woman who was running the thing or whatever.
Yeah, we stressed her out.
Yeah, I guess didn't understand that we were live, loud rock bands, and asking you guys to. I think you were playing at a half, a 0.5 volume.
Yeah, it was so low that I was able to talk,
hear your strings,
while playing a song.
No. But the rest of that tour was great. That Texas little run that we did.
Where was it? Houston? That we played across the street from the Ataris?
Dallas.
Dallas? That was a great, really
that was show. Cool. No, that wasn't Dallas. Dallas was the Arts and Crafts Festival. That was in San Antonio.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then Austin was cool. Yeah. Yeah, I just miss going to new places and playing. That's because that's the best part,
Yeah, it's I guess the one thing I do like about DIY touring is the adventure of going to places I haven't been before.
Yeah, for sure. And it could be a good show, or it could be weird.
Yeah, you just have to roll with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the one consistent hobby that I've had since I was in high school.
Yeah. So same.
Kind of feels weird to not do it for basically an entire year.
Yeah. That's why I started this podcast, because I was just I needed some outlet, because I didn't have touring and, we're practicing and We recorded a little bit. But yeah, just need something.
And then, like, I travel for work too, so that, like, that pretty much vanished as well.
Yeah.
So it's like my one hobby is like being on the road, and my job is being on the road. So this is like the most I've been home in probably the last 4 years.
Yeah. Damn.
I think it'll come back. Like.
Yeah. It has to. Yeah. Hopefully.
Like, we have projects that are, you know, outside of this regional area that are like coming on for work that they're talking about, like, starting to travel again. So.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Hopefully when shows come back, you know, I think people are going to be more excited to come out to shows. Hopefully.
Do you think, like, we've been talking about that.
I would hope so, man.
Are people going to come back out? Because I feel like in Gainesville, although everyone thinks it's a huge, like, music town, and it does have a track record of being a good music town.
Right.
Shows, like, over the last few years, because, like, there were so many of them going on every single Friday or Saturday night, they got to be pretty, like, ill-attended.
Yeah.
So we're talking, like, are people going to come back out to these? Are they going to feel safe? Or, like, the venue's going to stay open that, like, have been having trouble right now? No telling. It's sad to go to Lucy's and, like, sit outside in one of their five, like, tables they have set up.
Yeah.
Nice that, like, people are still going there and they're able to stay in business, but it's, like, sad to see it as, like, a shell of what it used to be.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's got to be just a matter of time, though. I don't know.
Yeah, Eric was saying he was at the backyard on, like, Friday night, and... like, it's a back for, like, people that don't know, the backyard is an open air, like, you know, bar venue.
Yeah.
In Gainesville. And you would think it would be a prime spot for people wanting to go out but still, like, try to stay safe.
Yeah.
And he said he stopped by there and he said it was dead. Like, literally no one was there on Friday night.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, I don't know, man. What's try and steer away from the bleak COVIDness. What's your what's out of any genre? No genre specific thing, but what's your favorite Gainesville band or music artist out of all of them?
Oh, I would like
or top. Give me a top three.
Top three?
Yeah.
I would say probably Less Than Jake's number one.
Okay.
They were actually the first concert I ever went to when I was in seventh grade.
Damn.
I slept over at a friend's house, and somehow his mom drove us up to Gainesville and, like, dropped 3 seventh graders off at this venue, and we got ourselves into the show.
Hell yeah.
Then she came back and picked us up later, and it was I don't know, a crazy, like, they had the guy breathing fire on stage, and I remember the bathrooms overflowed at the venue, so there was, like, an inch of water on the ground.
Damn.
In the crowd. It was just a all-around good night. So, like, I always have, a soft spot for Less Than Jake.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, maybe number two's Frameworks was a band that was really popular a few years ago.
That sounds familiar. What did they have, any big songs or big record?
They put out a record on the last record they put out was on Death Wish.
Oh, okay.
But I can't think of the name of it. I want to say it was called Loom, but that doesn't sound like, I'm not sure if that's right.
Hmm.
They were just really, really good live.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, number. There's tons of, like, local bands that I can't even think of who they are right now. I mean, I would probably maybe say Hot Water would be an easy third pick.
Yeah. Yeah. It's if looking through, like, the wiki of Gainesville, music, it's crazy how many bands, and obviously, you know, Tom Petty, you know, it's tough to get bigger than him.
Have you read that Gainesville like punk rock book?
No, I've seen it though.
It's pretty interesting. I recommend it.
Worth a read.
I mean, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
If you want to get really nerdy about like some bands you have heard of before, and then probably a bunch of bands that like no one would really know.
What do you? Because Gainesville, it's not like it's a metropolitan city. What do you think? What do you think it is about Gainesville that so many bands came out of there?
I mean, I don't know. I think it's just like a city that, like, the feel of it is a lot different than like a lot of cities in Florida.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I guess it's like a pretty transient population because of the university. But the people that are like actual Gainesvillians that like live there through the summertime periods, I think maybe have nothing to do, so they like try to start bands.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really know. It's just a lot more progressive city than a lot of places in Florida.
Yeah.
It's put out some good music over the years.
Yeah.
Mm. And then, like, I don't know, with the fest has like really helped.
Yeah.
Perpetuate that, like, Gainesville, like, myth.
Yeah. It's crazy how big fest is, like, internationally. Like, people coming over from fucking all over the place.
Yeah, it's like for like a small like DIY band, like just getting the opportunity to play fest has opened up like so many opportunities to us.
For sure. Same.
Like Tony Weinbender is probably the nicest person on the planet.
Yeah, he's a nice dude.
And we've played fest a bunch of times now. And like I've had interactions with Tony, and like he's come to shows, and we played his party this year. But like I didn't like really know him very well, kind of on the front end of that. But he was the type of guy that like literally like memorizes everybody's name and knows who you are.
Yeah.
And like if he sees you in public, like will go out of his way to like come up and talk to you.
Nice.
And I think like his attitude and the way he treats people has went a long way to like continuing to make fest successful.
For sure. Yeah. It's the little things like that that separate people, you know, because he easily could just be like, he could easily be the exact opposite and just be like, you know,
too cool for him.
Too cool, you know, whatever. Because he's, you know, he's done all this cool shit, had so many cool bands come play. Interacted with all these cool, huge people. I mean, I probably would be the opposite of Tony if I was in his shoes, for sure. I would be Slick Mike at that point.
Oh, God.
I'm just joking. And I feel like we've had a good conversation. Like a solid, we're at about 45 minutes here.
Yeah. I mean, however long you want to.
There's no cap and there's no minimum. I let it flow. Luckily so far, I haven't had one where it's been like 10 minutes. I've been like, all right, I got to cut this short. I hope that doesn't happen, but you know, I don't know. I don't know the future.
Do you have a lot of episodes lined up?
I've got a lot. It's weird. Somehow, you know, this week, a lot of people have confirmed for this week. So I've got like 3 or 4 to do this coming up.
It's the regular Rogan.
Yeah, man. I wish. that's my goal, to become the punk rock Joe Rogan. And I just smoke weed and I just talk to people and just hang out. But yeah, I've got some cool people coming up. Some people you've mentioned in this podcast coming up.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but it's cool. I'm excited. Do you have any words of wisdom or closing statements that you'd like to get off your chest?
Yes, if you haven't watched Ted Lasso yet, make that a priority in your life.
Ted Lasso, okay.
Best bit of television I've seen in a long time.
Ted Lasso, okay.
It's on Apple Plus.
Okay. You're not the first person to tell me this, so I guess it's a thing I need to check out.
I actually binge watched the entire first season this morning.
Okay, this morning.
Yeah.
How many episodes is it?
10.
10. Damn.
I was kind of hungover this morning, so I didn't have much to do.
Okay. Right on. Respect. Well, yeah, man. I do have a closing tag. And it's Alex, you had options, but you decided to talk to me. And I appreciate it.
Well, it's a pleasure seeing your face again.
Oh, stop.
Maybe we can do it in real life soon.